Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And well. Look what we had to open up the year. What a major sell-off we saw. What a problem we saw. But of course, our economists and our people that lead this wonderful place say, oh, there's no bubble, there's nothing going on. And of course, it all started very innocently as on Sunday night the markets opened a little bit higher, and all of a sudden, before you could blink, China opened and the markets were lower, and the rest of the Asian markets opened and they were lower. And all of a sudden, you've got a major sell-off. Now, again, I don't know about you, but I can hear the bubble popping. I can see that there is many, many problems that are here in this market, which I've been talking about for years. We have issues that have to be dealt with. We have a lousy economy. We have lousy jobs, and I'm sure that this week's jobs number, I don't know how it can be good, because there's going to be a lot of layoffs, but I guess it'll count for December, so we won't know about that yet. The February number should be pretty rotten. But, you know, here's the way that I see it, and here are the problems that I believe that we have. First of all, you've got, in this country, lousy jobs. You've got a big portion of the population here that is still not working. And if they're working, they're working subpar jobs, not making the amount of money that they need to make to continue in the lifestyle in which they became accustomed to. You've got a retired society that has nowhere to put their money but into the equity market, which helps propel these markets higher on air. We have built a major house of cards. We have nothing to sustain this rally that this market has built. Now, again, I'm not saying it's going to pop or collapse today, but we have nothing that gives us the sustainability of real growth. Now, we all know from basic business, and many of you are entrepreneurs, but we all know that from basic business, you have to grow your business. We, as entrepreneurs and business people, cannot build a business based on air, based on cheap money. It does not work for the average. Of course, we end up getting the ridiculous warnings or the ridiculous sayings or the statements from our Fed chair, whose real concern is strictly what the banks are doing. I can't tell you how disturbing it is that we refuse to recognize the bubble that is being built, that we refuse to look at this from the standpoint of where is the growth. 2% GDP does not cut it. Okay, 211,000 service jobs does not cut it. Now, are we really going to sit here and believe what these ignorant imbeciles are telling us? I mean, do you really believe that you are seeing true growth when you can't go borrow any money, when you can't get money from the bank? Think about what's going on and the signs that are being laid out there for you. Every day, a new lender, a private lender, what we would call a peer-to-peer lender, opens up. Okay, I heard a new one this morning as a commercial. I can't remember the name, but you've got Prosper, you've got Cabbage, you've got this, you've got that, you've got, I can remember the phone number, I can't remember the commercial. You got all these people willing to give you money because they know that the banks aren't giving it to you. Now, that's a sign that should be crystal clear to the geniuses in charge saying, hey, we need to raise our rates higher. We need to take this economy. We need to take the bullet. And the problem is that they will not take the bullet. They continue to try to borrow their way out of debt on the cheap, free, and easy monetary policy. They continue with the theory that they can eventually get past all this. They continue to devalue your currency, okay, your dollars, and make them worth less money so that you have to pay more to get the same goods and services. They give you the same ridiculous theory that we can do all of this and ignore the fact that China is collapsing. Okay. Now, you know, we never get a straight story out of China, but if we get bad news, which we got Sunday night overnight, okay, bad enough that the Chinese felt that they had to halt trading in their market. Now, if you don't think that that should be a concern, you better think again. Because when they own the Chinese central banks, or the Chinese government, which I believe to be one and the same, own 52% of that equity market, why else do you think that they shut down the market? Okay. They are manipulating the markets because they are afraid. Now, of course, we all know that when the central banks panic by shutting down the banks or shutting down the exchange, that's going to cause a bigger problem. Now, I don't know what their plan is overall, but I can tell you this, that's just another warning sign for everyone out there who doesn't have their portfolio hedged, who doesn't have some protection around what they own, that you are going to be in the same position that everybody else is in without protection, and wondering what bus just ran you over because you refuse to recognize that extended record margin debt, greed, and people continuing to pour money into the market because it's the only place to go is going to be a disaster when it happens. Now, we saw this on August 24th. We now see it on January 4th. And if you think that it's a one-off, okay, and we're going to just bounce right back and just another buying opportunity, maybe it is. But wouldn't it make more sense to have your portfolio hedged so that it didn't matter that you actually welcomed these sell-offs so that you could add to your equity portfolio and buy more? That's what my people are doing, is they're adding to their portfolio and buying more of the market, but at lower levels, bringing down their basis cost so that they can make more money on the next rally, whether it be tomorrow, next week, or next year. And they're also staying hedged. Think about it. Check it out at BubbaTrading.com. But for now, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horvitz. Catch all the shows at LibertyTalk.fm on demand. We're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horvitz.
Maggie, I think I got something to say.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you. And, of course, yesterday, ugly. But not surprising. Again, let's not be surprised by market action. Being with me, you should never be surprised about the market footprint. The market footprint indicated that there was more trouble to come. You know, if you look back at last week, at the way that we ended, it only indicated that there was more trouble on the way, that we had issues to deal with. And we have big issues to deal with. If you think that there's not issues, then you better think again. Because, again, it's a simple problem in economics. Okay? We cannot continue to have lousy data and expect markets to rally. You know, nobody's talking about the redemption problems that we have. You know, some of the mutual funds are already having trouble making redemptions. Why? Because they don't have the money. Okay? They're supposed to have the money, but they don't have the money. You don't think that that's not a warning sign that there is a bigger problem on the horizon? If we, you know, if you think that there isn't problems, just look at that. Look at what happened in the oil industry. Okay? Look at the collapse of what happened. Look at some of the REITs that you owned. Well, actually, they're not REITs, but look at some of the oil-related conglomerate groups that you owned and see how they crumbled throughout the last year. Look at what's happening to our commodity space. You look and you see a deflationary scenario. Now, I know we all like to pay lower prices, but if we pay much lower prices, that comes at a cost. It comes at a cost of jobs. It comes at a cost of a fluid market system, which is one of the biggest problems that we're not talking about, is what happened to free markets and what we call true price discovery. True price discovery would be like you going to a flea market, okay, and looking to buy a product and negotiating a price in which the buyer and seller both agreed upon. That is price discovery. Okay. But we have taken away that price discovery model with the manipulation by central banks around the world. Now, the problem there is that you're not getting free markets. We need to let the markets decide what price should be, not Janet Yellen or Ben Bernanke before her, or Mario Draghi, or Shinzo Abe, okay? Because all they are creating is a bigger meltdown for the future. And that's why I warn you. Now, again, I'm not telling you it's going to happen tomorrow, but I warn you to protect your assets. I warn you to get yourself hedged so that you don't have to worry about the impending and upcoming market collapse, because you can bet your ass it's coming, and the signs continue to show. Look at what's happened to Apple, 130, now 105. Look what's happened to Netflix, 130, now 106. Okay. If you don't think that that is not indicating some problems in the FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, you're wrong. Again, I'm not predicting the crash tomorrow. I'm not telling you that it's going to end here, but you have to look at the real facts. And the real facts are very simple. Okay? We got problems. We have built a If you remember the three little pigs, we are the ones that have built the house of straw. Okay. And the big bad wolf is going to huff and puff and blow our house down in time. And again, I'm not trying to tell you the sky is falling. What I'm warning you is to take care of yourself and make sure that you have protection against your portfolio, against your crops, against whatever it is you own. Because as we can see, although gold popped a little, it certainly did not pop enough to protect anybody from the overall market. Okay. One of the problems we have today is too many people are too fully invested with debt into the market. Not to mention the rent bubble that we now have. Realize that when you watch and you see people swarming into one area, because that's where the money is, eventually the market, that market becomes saturated. And right now, all the easy money is being made in the rent markets. Okay. Buy a rental property. We've got a real estate bubble. We've got a stock market bubble. And now, as we talk about the junk bonds, okay, the junk bonds are at the lowest yields they've ever been. Okay. Again, that ever chase for yield has people running everywhere to find it, creating false markets that don't make sense. Now, You can look all you want and you can make up all the stories, but you'll look back in history and right here, Bubba is telling you that this is an asset bubble. And asset bubbles always pop. You can go back to Tulip Mania, and I'm sure there was many before that. Okay, because trading goes back to the origination of mankind. Because everybody was always trading something. In the, back in the caveman days, you might have been trading rocks for land. Who knows what they were trading? They were trading something. Okay. And we will always continue to trade. And we will always continue to have the same issues in markets that we have now. When you eliminate the opportunity for free markets and price discovery, when you get greed involved, when you take away other opportunities and force everybody, like into Noah's Ark or into the Titanic, what do you end up with? You end up with a market collapse. Now, again, I'm not warning you today. I'm not telling you to panic and sell your shares. But go back and watch the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Okay. Watch anything about history, and history will tell you that the market we are in today, although the PE ratios in many don't look like it, is overvalued. And again, remember that we are dealing in a market that has basically zero interest. We don't have a quarter point, but it's basically zero interest rate, which means that if interest rates rise, those valuations are going to rise. So you are in an overvalued situation. You are in a situation where everybody has been forced into a position, many that don't want to be there, that can't wait to get out. And that will cause a problem as well. So as you look and you see and you realize what the problems could be, that is what we've got to deal with. Those problems, because they are not going to go away. That is the flaw in the Keynesian economic theory, is the problems never disappear. You can push them off, but eventually you have to come and have that meeting of the minds that says, hey, we've done everything we can and we're still going to collapse. And that's why we have to go back to free markets and true price discovery, and let the markets decide what the price should be, not the Fed, not the central banks. Markets themselves know how to price themselves because they go for value. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by here for a break and come back with our friend Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. We'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back in two or three.
He's so delicious. So soft.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Matt Demeter from Demeter Research, DemeterResearch.com. One of our top analysts here on the program. And, of course, he's been on fire. He's been hot. And he's got some interesting calls for the year ahead. So, Matt, you know, take us through what you saw at the end of last year. And I thought there was pretty interesting action on Thursday and Friday as we kind of crumbled a little bit on low volume, but really the markets kind of look like they're just really stuck in a one old big choppy range. What are you seeing and what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm seeing that same choppy range probably continuing for a little while. Where we ended last week Wednesday and Thursday with that weakness, I think that probably continues for a little bit because most of my indicators are still closer to overbought than oversold. But I don't know how long the chop lasts, but I'm looking for a big rally in the first half of the year. And then I think we're going to switch over to a bear market sometime towards the end of the first half.
Okay, when you say a big rally in the first part of the year, what are you thinking, or what are you calling a big rally?
I'm thinking new highs, probably 10 to 20% higher than the current highs.
Okay, so you're looking for like 2,300 in the S&P?
Roughly, yeah, right around there.
Okay, and so that would put us about almost 20,000 in the Dow?
Almost 20,000, that's right, in the Dow.
Okay, and then so that you're looking for, and of course this is a presidential cycle, but of course technical analysis don't care about cycles or president stuff. But typically are bullish markets when that happens. What are you looking forward after that? I know that you've got, I think, a fairly shocking story of what you're looking for after we do have that initial rally.
Well, after that, I think we have a very symmetrical pattern to the downside. So I think we're looking at, you know, 40, 50% down. So maybe another 2008, but it's a large, you know, move down. Bear market.
Well, it would be now. Certainly, the circumstances are the same. If we look from that standpoint, I mean, actually, in today's market, if you look at the debt is higher than it was in 2008. So, if it's the debt market, we'd have lower, and of course, the Fed has no place to go here. So, where is the market? And look, I know we can't time it exactly because there's never a way to do that. But is there any chance you see here early? I mean, in other words, what are you expecting right here in the short term off of last week's action? What are you expecting here in the beginning of the week?
Yeah, short term, I think we're headed further down. We made lows a few weeks ago around December 9th, I believe, December 10th, somewhere around there. I think we'll take those lows out at least, and then we'll have probably another bounce. I don't know if we're going to keep chopping like this. I don't know how much longer that's going to last. I would actually like to, in my ideal world, what I'd like to see happen this week going into the next few weeks is a continual move down towards those August lows. I don't want to see the August lows in U.S. markets broken, because I think at that point my call for new highs will be invalidated. But I think if we get back down towards those August and September lows, we want to be buying those for this run to new highs. And then, and of course, you know, I think we're going to top out.
So it seems to me, or it sounds to me, like you're looking for a pretty volatile beginning of the year, or beginning of first quarter. And again, we can't tell you exactly when this is all going to happen, but you're looking for a continuation of the downwards. You believe that the downside is going to get violated first, so we can go down and check those August 24 lows, kind of make a double or a triple bottom in some cases, and then make some huge move from there. So from what you're looking for, we're almost looking for a 15 to 20% move off of there back to the upside, and then you're looking for a major break to the downside. Would that be a good assumption?
That's right, yeah. So that's still a big move down, then a much bigger move up, then a much bigger move down again. So,
so are you looking for 2016 to be a much more volatile year? Are we looking for volatility to come back into the markets now?
Well, definitely, and both to the upside and to the downside as far as the market goes. So I think once we get towards these extreme high, this final high, I think volatility will get crunched down to levels we haven't seen for a long, long time. And then after that, they're going to go, you know, berserk to the upside.
Now, as a technician, is high volatility better for footprint reading or technical charting, or is the grind better, or does it not matter?
To me, it doesn't matter. I just want to find, you know, turning points in both volatility and in the market, so that when they line up, I have more confidence that we're going to have a move. If we're going to drop, then I want to see volatility spike up. I want to see the market looks. I want the market to look like it's at a peak by my methods. But I'm fairly confident volatility has not made a major bottom yet. So that, and I also don't believe, you know, the stock market has made a major high yet either. So that fits.
Oh, no, I understand. And
sure.
Now, I know this is not a technical question, but from just a guy who reads the markets and pays attention to it, what is going to drive the markets up to those new highs, in your opinion?
From a fundamental point of view, I have no idea what would drive them up that high. It seems kind of, it would seem to me that with all the margin debt and everything that's going against the market, that would be, you know, very difficult. But the chart is just telling me that's what it wants to do.
No, that you know what? It's better than when you're that way, then you don't have to think about it. And there is no human decision when you're looking at it. It's basically a mathematical or a business decision just based on exactly what you're looking at. Now, what do you think about the world markets?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I think the Nikkei is one I'm looking at, and it's been the weakest for a while. It's just been chopping sideways along a support, and I think it probably broke that support last week. I want to watch it some more this week. If it continues downward, that could be the beginning of a much bigger move, probably down to its August lows for the Nikkei. Yen, which we talked about last week, was pushing on resistance at the end of on this last Thursday, and if it breaks above, then that'll confirm that the Nikkei is also going to is breaking support.
Now, you also watch the DAX quite a bit. What are you seeing in the DAX?
DAX isn't as clear. DAX is not really, in my work, either at resistance or support. However, Euro Stoxx 50, to me, is on the first of, say, two critical supports, which are very close together. If Euro Stoxx 50 drops, say, another 2%, then I think it may have another, you know, 15% to the downside. So that's concerning. That would obviously affect the DAX. Or now, the DAX would affect Euro Stoxx 50, either way you look at it, but that would be pretty bearish to DAX. But as of right now, Euro Stoxx 50 is on support. The only thing that worries me if I was a bull is the fact that daily indicators are still overbought. Even while we're sitting on support. So that increases the odds that Euro Stoxx 50 is going to break through to the downside.
Now, what do you use for your overbought indicator?
I use primarily RSI and stochastics.
Okay, so the relative strength and the stochastics, so you're taking away from the way that they're acting and it's overbought. You're not using one of those overbought, oversold indicators, is that correct?
No, I'm using those as my overbought, oversold indicators.
Okay, so you make the decision based on what you see on those, because it's different, you know, because there's 9 billion indicators out there, and at some point you have to choose what to use, and you have to narrow it down to just a couple, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I've narrowed it down to, these two, because it works best with my the kind of lines and methods that I use. And I like those two. Just they're well followed. They've been used for a long time. And when they confirm each other, when they're both overbought or they're both oversold, that's, you know, fairly helpful.
All right. Well, you know what? I want to ask you a question, and I want you to think about it as we get ready to step out here for a break. But, you know, there's always the battle between, you know, fundamental traders and technical traders. Okay. And we always have that battle. Now, you and I are both technical guys, but what makes the market actually almost always react more technically based on the indicators that you find versus off of fundamentals? Because it's a very fine line, and our goal here is to always educate the listeners so that they have a better idea of why that technical trading is much better than fundamental trading. I mean, you can like a stock for fundamental reasons or an index, but there'd be no reason based on our opinion. But I want to get your complete answer when we come to the break. But in our opinion, it's much better to find a stock. If you like it for fundamentals, it gets fine, but put it on your list, but wait until the technical indicators indicate that it's time to get in. We are visiting with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. He's got some of the greatest technical stuff that you can listen for. You got to make sure you check it out at his website, DemeterResearch.com. Really great stuff, and he's been on top of it here. He's been in fuego or very hot here. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back after the break with Matt and get his answer.
Bubba Show, Todd, Bubba. 10 miles from town, and I just broke down.
After 10,000 beers and 28 years.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. That's DemeterResearch.com. A regular here on The Bubba Show brings us his technical reads of the market every week. And as you can tell, Matt does not get overly excited about one thing or the other. It's all basically, these are the numbers, this is what the footprint says, and this is what I'm going to do. So, Matt, before the break, I asked you about the technical versus fundamental, and you and I both believe that it's always technical, but there's still many out there that believe in fundamentals. Tell us why that the fundamentals are not the first thing you should look at once you decide that you're going to play with a particular index stock or whatever.
Well, there's a ton of examples of that. A very present one would be the gold stocks and the silver stocks, the precious metals miners, even the industrial miners. their basic commodity is depressed, but you know, the gold stocks, for the most there's many of them that remain, you know, they're not losing money, and yet they're well below book value, they're well below liquidation value, which doesn't make any sense. Fundamentals always get stretched, you know, to the extreme. That's one for the downside. I still think that gold and silver stocks are headed lower, but from a fundamental point of view, there's many that certainly won't go bankrupt, and they'll get through this next cycle. You know, gold and silver, well, at least for silver, the cost to dig it out of the ground is more than the current price of the commodity. So we know at some point silver has to go higher. So if you look at it from that point of view, one should be buying silver. One should also be buying silver miners that have good cash balances. And people aren't. They're just dumping them left and right. So there's one example of an oversold extreme that's just going to get more extreme. And then if you look at, you know, if you go all the way back to 2000 is a great example of euphoria and all these internet stocks that had no fundamentals behind them, you know, just going to the stratosphere. That technicals would tell you that. In both cases, if you're a fundamental trader and you get long gold or silver stocks, for example, now, or you got short internet stocks back in 2000, you would win. But the question with that is, how much pain can you take before you win? So if you started, I mean, the time to start shorting internet stocks from a fundamental point of view would have been in 99. And then you would have the NASDAQ double on you, you know. So could you have taken that? Same thing with gold stocks now. I still think there's more than 10% downside. So if you buy now, you don't mind 10% downside, you're going to do fine. But if you want, if you don't want to get blown out, for example, by going short an internet stock in 99, you want to follow technicals.
Right, and why wait for, if you don't have to, why participate in the 10% to the downside when it's just easier? If you look at, you know, the best thing is if the technicals change on a fundamental basis, you can just simply, maybe you pay a little bit more, but for the most part, you're going to be able to buy stocks at a much better price than you're going to buy them if you just simply say, oh, I like Starbucks because the fundamentals are great. This is great. The stock is trading at $61. Well, if Matt's going to be right early in the year, Starbucks is probably going to go into the 50s before it becomes a buy. So why wouldn't you wait for a technical indicator to jump in instead of sitting there and taking the punishment of taking it down? I think that's one of the problems that the regular investor has, because if it starts to go too low, then you have to make a decision. Whereas if you're waiting for the technicals to kick in and give you the right spot, usually you do a hell of a lot better. What do you say?
I totally agree. If you have fundamental, you know, you want fundamentals on your side, but you want technicals on your side too. If you have both on your side, you have a very good chance of, you know, winning, and, you know, winning a lot bigger, and not, like you said, sitting there taking pain when you don't have to. So I 100% agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something you have to understand. And Matt, you know, you've been a technical, how long have you been technically trading for?
About 5 to 6 years. It actually goes back about 10, but my current methods go back about 5 to 6.
And how did you develop the current methods that you use? If you can say, I don't want you to give away any of your secrets.
Yeah, it's no problem. I can kind of be general about it. What I notice in a variety of systems is symmetry. So I'm just looking for symmetrical patterns. There's one called hidden pivots, which I thought was interesting, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And it's very similar to Fibonacci retracements. It's basically, if you go up, you know, just pick an arbitrary number. Say you go up 50, you chop around for a while. It's a move up with a straight line, and then you chop for, say, a few weeks. And your next move should be to the upside, and it should be the same, it should be another 50. So that would take you up to 100, and you should have a chop in the middle. That would be very symmetrical. That's very basic, but that's what I'm looking for. I don't use that method. I use it occasionally, but many methods like that have precise targets, are based on symmetry. So that's what I'm looking for.
Now, I break the market down into three basic phases. I'll get your thoughts.
Yeah.
I think all markets, the first or basic phase is consolidation, where the markets are trying to figure out where they want to go. Then the second phase is where the market breaks out either up or down to the trend. And then at the end of most trends, you have what we call a blow-off where, you know, price and time, greed or fear take over and push the markets dramatically one way or the other. And then the patterns start over and repeat again, do the same thing again. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about the psychology angle of it, I mean, there is that depression to euphoria cycle. We see that all the time. And we're, you know, I think we're just trying to determine with, you know, our methods, with your methods, where euphoria is peaking and, you know, where depression is at its maximum pain.
So now, as a technical trader, how do you calculate your maximum pain? Where does your exit point? You've entered, you're saying right now that gold is stocks are probably going down another 10%. So you get short gold here, but gold doesn't go down that 10%. What is the indication technically that helps you exit that trade? Obviously at a loss. I mean, there is no such thing as a trade, every trade being a winner. What is your signal to exit?
Well, I deal with very, very distinct lines. That's what's been, you know, really for my own psyche, it's been very good. I'll have a target line and gold will get to that target line to the downside. So we'll get long. And then I know that I can misplace that line by up to 1%. So what I will do is we'll buy when the line is touched. And if it goes through by more than 1%, we'll stop out. So, you know, as long as we're not, you know, using leverage, like using 100% of our portfolio to buy just gold, then, you know, we stand to lose 1% at the most, you know, the portfolio on that one trade. But we never make, you know, we don't do trades that big. Typically, we're using position sizes of 20, 30% at the very most. That's the highest we tend to get to. But that's only on high conviction trades. But I try to, you know, determine where a new trend line is going to appear. And it's kind of I don't know of anybody else that uses my method. I developed myself. So we've, for example, in 2015, we had 17 major calls where, you know, we'd have a very definitive turning point. We were wrong out of two of those calls, and the other 15 calls we had, we caught within 1%, and I think 14 of those, 13 or 14, were within 0.5%. So we've gotten it pretty precise, and that's really helpful.
That's great, and we're gonna come back again next week with our friend Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. He's got some great things going on. You got to check out his website. And you know, you hook him up, and if you sign up, you just let him know you came from the Bubba Show, and he'll be happy to take care of you. But for today, that'll do it. This has been my friend Matt. Matt, thanks, and again, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, Todd.
This is Matt Demeter, Demeter Research, and this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and what another great show today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station. If you've missed any of the shows, make sure you check it out at libertytalk.fm. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Goodbye. It's late September.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.